Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The following podcast is not affiliated with the developers who have created the games being reviewed. The reviews are solely the opinions of the hosts to be used to make an educated decision on what games to download and play.
Just say your name as usual.
Chris?
Ooh, it feels weird to say it, but I'm going to do it anyway. Hello, and welcome to Budget Arcade. That's as far as I'm going to go. I'm not going to go into the other spiel that Scott usually says. But my name is Elliot.
I'm Chris.
Oh, whoa, that's a new name. And we are the new Off Week. Off Week feels weird to say, too, though, doesn't it?
Like, yeah, well, we're bringing some class to this podcast.
Yeah, we need an off-brand name, right? Like, I was thinking JV squad, but then that denotes that we're like the junior varsity, where we're clearly varsity level people. I've been on the main week episodes. There's nothing varsity about those three, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe Jeff. Jeff's got some class, but those other two, man, they're just really showboating it, you know.
Yeah, there's. We're sending it for the boat.
And also, we're not covering free-to-play games. We might cover games that are free, like, on Game Pass, like we did this week. But we're not going to cover, like, free-to-play games for the most part. I mean, we might hit one or two, because I do have one, actually, that I'm kind of waiting to throw onto you, because I'm kind of interested just in how it was made and who's making it and that kind of stuff. Well, that's like a month away at this point, because we have a pile of games that we already are going to, like, get to. But like, you know, I think I've talked about it before, but I left Budget Arcade proper because they were just reviewing like games that were not fun.
Like, well, not most free to play games. I mean,
it's hard. I think you got like five good free to play games, right?
Yeah. We've talked about it. I mean, every once in a while you'll find that gem in a pile of crap.
That's exactly it.
That's why they're there.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. Yeah. The gem. Yeah. Out of all the coal, you push hard enough and eventually you get a diamond, right?
Correct.
So anyway, that's what Chris and I are going to do. We had a very short-lived podcast we did together with our mutual friend Brody called Hanging Out Gaming. I still think those episodes are pretty good. They're pretty amusing. But Brody had to kind of step away. He's like selling a house and buying a house and you know the market. So he kind of had to step away from that, and we thought it was kind of weird kind of continuing on with him. So we're going to do this. Also, it makes it easier on me. So there's that to it. We're not going to follow the same format that proper Budget Arcade follows. We're going to kind of do our own thing because, again, we're not playing free-to-play games, so, you know, we don't really need to talk about paywalls. We might talk about replayability, and we'll talk about gameplay and stuff like that, but the games just don't follow the same format as a free-to-play game does, so I think the discussion doesn't denote following the same format. We're also going to kind of get freaky with it. in a way too, because I'm gonna try and find like weird things to kind of talk about to bring it in. And we might not always talk about just video games too, because the thing that Chris and I do, because we work together in real life, in the real world, we get off subject really easily about all kinds of things. We watch a lot of the same shows, like The Boys. Did you catch The Boys this week, by the way? Oh man, how can you live with yourself watching only half of like an hour long TV show and then taking a break from it?
Usually I have to sit down and finish it, but I had so much going on this weekend, I had to stop. Otherwise, I would not get anything done this weekend.
Yeah, we were talking before we started recording, and your Saturday sounded absolutely ridiculous.
Yes.
You just had a pile of things. You know what I did today? We're recording on a Saturday. Obviously, this goes out on Tuesday. I woke up at like 6:15, took the dog out
you know,
for the whole bathroom thing. We went to Target to try to find my father-in-law a Father's Day gift.
Okay.
And then, do we even have... Yeah, we picked up Chick-fil-A. And
nice.
Then I stayed at home and hung out with my dog as my wife went and got her hair dyed. That was my Saturday. It was fantastic. Oh my God, it was the best.
Sounds a lot better than mine.
Oh man, it was perfect. I just sat and watched like TikToks for like 20 minutes. Or 20 minutes, more like 3 or 4 hours. But you know, I'll say 20 minutes. Healthy.
Yeah, 20 minutes turned into 8 hours, and then now you're addicted and rocking back and forth in your chair.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, what did we play this week, Chris?
We played Limbo.
So Limbo is made by Playdead. They developed it. Microsoft produced it or published it. And the way it's described is Limbo is a puzzle platform video game developed by Playdead, like I said. It was originally published on the 360 way back in the day. It came out in 2010 for Xbox Live Arcade. And since then, it's come out on a bunch of different systems. Like, I played it on the Switch this week. So there's that to it.
I'm looking at the thing. It's Steam, iOS,
okay,
Nintendo Switch, Green Man Gaming, which I've never heard of.
Hmm.
Fanatical.
Okay.
Epic Games, which majorities are all PC launchers.
Right.
It's available on Mac App Store for mobile. Origin. It's Google Play for mobile. PlayStation, Xbox, GOG.com, and of course...
GOG, I think, is what
store.
GOG is.
Okay.
Which is GOG.com. It's Good Old Games is what it stands for.
Okay.
They're kind of like a Humble Bundle and kind of like an Epic. So they're their own game front store. They're probably the third biggest behind Steam and Epic, if I had to guess. And that's just straight up guessing.
So pretty much wherever you get your games, more likely you be able to find Limbo.
Yeah. It's also on Vita. You skipped over that. And Linux. So, you know, don't be that guy.
It doesn't list it on their site. I was reading from their site.
Well, I'm on Wikipedia, which we, of course, know is 100% factual and should be taken as such. So, I don't know. Wikipedia wouldn't lie to me.
May have to edit that later on.
I don't know. So far, it's generated... Limbo was the third highest selling game on Xbox Live Arcade in 2010, generating 7.5 million. Isn't that insane?
That is insane.
That's absolutely crazy. And it was, from my understanding, is it's really just designed by one dude.
Really?
I'm not going to pronounce his name correctly because I don't know how to say it, but it's, I think it's Jeppe? J-E-P-P-E. Is this Giuseppe?
Joppy?
We're butchering it. It's really just one guy. So when we say Playdead, it's really just like Jeppe Carlson. So, okay, so tell me about the gameplay. How do you describe this game to someone who has not heard of it? Which, for me, I've definitely heard of this game forever, probably since 2010. But this was the first time playing it for me.
Okay. Well, I would say it's just it's side-scroller puzzle, I guess is I would define it. It's a very dark, dreary game. And I think that's about all I can say for it.
Yeah, that's kind of the weird part about this, right? Like, there is very little story to it.
Yeah, you start off, there's no, like, introduction to controls, introduction to the story. You're just thrown into the game. There's no color except for grays, whites, and blacks. That's yeah. it.
So I like the simplicity of the look to it, right? There's nothing on the screen other than just like what you see, right? There's no like mini map or there's nothing taking up room on the screen other than just like the world you're side scrolling through, which I actually like love that like minimalist approach.
Yeah, it's very simplistic and you have the game and the game only and that's what you're focusing on.
Yeah, and you basically move left to right, up and down because you can jump. You yep. can grab things and like that's the mechanics of the game, right? I mean,
yeah. Very simple.
The other thing too is like this is a trial by fire kind of game where like every like I don't know, every so often you run into like some new puzzle that you have to like kind of move yourself through, whether it's like traps or like giant spider or boxes that you have to move or lift or raise or like platforms to jump onto or buttons to push or like this, that, or the other. And it kind of goes into sections, right? Like the first like section I thought was like bear traps, right?
Yes.
Or it's like move these bear traps here or there, or do something with these bear traps. And then yeah, you had a lot of boxes.
Yeah, it kind of like starts you off slow and like, okay, you figure out how to use this trap basically, and then you eventually use it to do a main thing that yeah. helps you complete your main quest. I guess that spider at the very first level, ugh. I guess, would that be considered a boss?
Yeah, that's like the first boss, right? I kind of like that was my first like section. And then the second section is kind of like a weird gray area, which I think was the longest section where it kind of delved with a bunch of different things. And then you get to like the cog section. Mm-hmm. And then you get to like the gravity defying section. So
yep,
for me,
I don't know
right,
that one.
And we'll get to that discussion because that is a yeah. really fun
that's
discussion.
A sore subject.
Yeah, you still sound a little like butthurt about it.
I am a little butthurt on that, but
I would be more okay. than butthurt, actually. Yeah. Thank God I had this game on Switch previously. I must have bought it on a sale, or else I would have been more than triggered, which you were triggered by, because I think it was a Friday. I came in and you were like, I don't want to talk about it. So the gameplay, I never felt like got like super difficult until the very end. Like once we got to like the cogs and the gravity section, I thought the difficulty kind of spiked a little bit, but like for the first like three quarters of the game, I thought it wasn't like progressively more difficult. It was just progressively different.
Yeah. It's, I think the difficulty increased as you went further and further on. And that's just once you got the hang of it, cause you got unlimited lives. So you can always trial and error on what works and what not for the traps that you're doing or the puzzles.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. Like, it's trial by fire where, like, the game almost wants you to try to do it, and then, like, it's like, haha, screw you, you're dead. But then you respawn, like, right before, like, you died, so, like, you don't have to, like, walk all the way back to that thing. It's almost like once you've completed, like, the next thing you were supposed to do, it'll reset you right back to where, like, you need to be. Which for me, I kind of liked because that's how I always knew like I was doing the puzzle correct. Because if it reset me to like just before I screwed up, I was like, oh, so I've been doing okay until now.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's no visible checkpoints at all.
Right. You can hit the pause button and it gives you to a load screen where you can load up to like the next like the start of like that little puzzle block. But it's never like, there's never like, oh, you've been doing good. And you can usually kind of tell when like you've reached a checkpoint because you're like, oh, the rain has stopped. So I probably hit a checkpoint here or the rain has started or like, you know, you can usually tell when you're like in a new section pretty easily.
Yeah. Usually when I start to die a lot, I know I'm pretty much in a new section.
Yeah. Yeah, but you even said, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but you like didn't really struggle too much with this game, right? Like,
no, I didn't. There was probably right before you get to the cog levels, I think.
Okay.
It was just because I was overthinking it, because most of the puzzles are pretty simplistic on how they are done. Yeah, so you can breeze through them pretty quick.
Some of them are like, hit the platform or don't hit the platform. Right? Like, like the first time you hit the platform and you die. So you're like, oh, I missed the I jump over it. And then the next one you have to actually hit it or else you do die. So it kind of like is kind of mind screwy in that sense. And you just have to kind of guess kind of what you're supposed to do. So I do think it tries to like trick you on purpose.
Yeah, but then again, if you do it, because I know which one you're talking about, because you run, and the first one, you're not supposed to jump on the button.
Right.
And then the second time, you have to jump on the button, because if you hit anywhere beside it, then it's going to crush you.
Exactly. So it's stuff like that, which I actually got that puzzle correctly the first time, because I was like, oh, I'm going to jump over this. And then, oh, I'm going to jump on it. Like, I knew what it was. I kind of guessed it correctly, so that wasn't a puzzle I particularly had any problems with. I had two that I absolutely found frustrating. Early on, the first like spider boss, who's the first main like difficulty thing, you have to pull a bear trap over to get its like tentacles stuck in the bear trap. And I understood the mechanics, like, oh, the first spider web, like the first spider foot like shoots straight down, so you have to move just a little, and the second one does the same thing too. But the third one shoots sideways, and I caught that. I understood it, but it kept, like, screwing me over. I felt cheaply, and I kept getting frustrated by it. That one took a lot to do. And then the one that I talked to you earlier about with the boxes, where you have to stack the boxes and then move the boxes and jump on top of the boxes and then jump onto the platform before the buzzsaw comes and grabs you. It just required a lot of timing that I just kept getting wrong by, like, a half second. And it was just really frustrating me, where I was like, I'm almost like, I'm just going to watch a video about this game instead of like seeing how it ends, because I was so pissed off by it. Did you have any that you were like, this is stupid, I hate this stupid game?
No. Well, the spider one that gave you difficulty too gave me some difficulty, but it was mainly that third lay, because each lay progressively got quicker on how fast it tried to get you. So he hit me in the head, or speared me in the head a couple times before I finally got the hang of the timing for that last one, because you gotta nudge it just right, get close enough for it to trigger, and then for it to shoot out and then get in a trap. The second one that got me hung up a little bit, which, again, it was just me overthinking, is where you had to raise the elevator up to take the box up, to slide it over.
Yeah,
and then you had to eventually pull the base of the elevator over with the chains. But I seen there was like a little vine hanging on the back side of the elevator. So I pushed the box over, jumped, activated the elevator, go up, jumped on the top of the elevator and tried to jump over to get that vine, thinking it did drop something else down, but it just dropped one of the secret globs of goo. I don't know what exactly it was. But eventually I figured out that, okay, well, I can just pull this over enough. So, and drag it to wait the other side of this ramp, so that way I can get my block and move on.
Yeah, it's funny that we both did not like the spider one, but we then had like problems with like several different puzzles. So it's definitely like a how you think of things kind of thing, where some puzzles are gonna upset people more than others, but they always seemed fair, right? Like once you completed it, I was always like, oh yeah, of course, that makes sense.
You know, like I said, it's a very simplistic game. Just, you don't have to overthink it, is the thing.
Right. Yeah, which is, I think that's kind of the problem, too, is it wants you to overthink or underthink. You know, like, I always found myself doing the opposite. But like, for the most part, I only found myself dying to, like, puzzles, like, I don't know, 2-3 times before, like, I figured them out. With the exception of a couple.
Yeah, right before that elevator one, there was the where the worm got stuck in your head, and you had to go like clear to the left of the map, and then you went clear to the right just for the worm to get removed. And then as you're working your way back to where the elevator was, I believe, maybe it's a little bit before, but you had to jump on the platforms, but it took me, I think, once or twice trying to jump and make that to realize, okay, this platform is teetering, so you have to like run to one side, then run over to the other side to get that platform to teeter just enough to allow it the motion so that you can stand at one end and be able to jump and go on to the next platform. Then you had to swing that one back and forth just to get the momentum to get to the next one. So it was kind of training me for the elevator one to pull it or swing it, but I just didn't pay that much attention, I guess.
Yeah. Also, talk to me about... So we originally decided to play this game because Scott said, hey, let's play this game next. But it was on Game Pass. And then on the... Was it the 15th or the 16th? The 15th was the last day. June yes. 15th was the last day the game was on Game Pass.
Yep.
And then it's now abruptly off of Game Pass. So like at the time of like the week of recording, it was on Game Pass for a time. And so how far did you get on in the game before you were cut off from it because of Game Pass?
Well, according to your storyline of it, I was probably within 5 minutes of starting the last levels.
You got to the cogs, right? You said.
Yeah, I was right at the cogs where the it was like turning as you were going, and you had to jump on the box, jump over to saw blades, and then do all that, and then take the cog wheel and move your boxes over with it and everything like that. I was right there.
Yeah, so you had there was a decent amount of cog puzzles, and then you had some gravity levels, and then you were done with the game. So you were really close. You were probably like maybe a little under a quarter of the way through the like left of the game. So you were real close before Game Pass shut it off on you.
Pull the rug out from underneath me.
That has got to be beyond frustrating. And it's not like the game is super expensive either. I'll look up the price right now, but like, are you like, I need to finish this game?
Yeah, it's, I can tell you the price off the top of my head. I already looked up. It's $9.99 for Xbox. I think on PC it's probably a little less expensive.
No, it's $9.99 right now on Steam, or you can get it 10% off if you buy it with Inside, which is the other game that the developer created as well.
Yeah. It's $29.99 for Inside on Xbox with the edition combo.
Yeah, it's $26.98 on Steam for the combo.
Okay. So that's what I'm probably going to do. I probably end up, I don't know if I'm going to just switch over to and play it on PC on Steam and just do it that way as the combo. But I'm not sure, because I'm already almost done with it on Xbox, so I may just do it that way. I can continue out, but then again, since it is a puzzle game and I can probably run through it again really quick and try and get all my achievements done for it as well.
Okay, two point question for you. One, do you feel like replaying it is going to give you, you're going to enjoy replaying all of those missions or puzzles again? And two, do you feel like you need to see this game through because you're like, you know, 75% through it?
I need to see it through to start off with the second half of that. I need to see it through definitely because I did enjoy it very well, which I wasn't sure I was going to, but I like a good puzzle game. So, and then with the achievements and the replayability, I guess we can try to do that.
Sure.
I think you could probably get one or two good replays out of it unless you are trying to finish out those achievements. So I think one of them is like you don't die the whole thing.
Right.
So I don't know if I'll do that, but it's just because it's about 3 hours to play it normally. But once you get the hang of all the puzzles, and if you play it back to back to back, you can probably fly through that game within an hour and a half.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
half, maybe two hours?
I'll tell you, not even, because that stupid box building Saul jumping over puzzle that like triggered me. I was like, I was convinced I was doing it correctly, which it turns out I was. But I was like, well, maybe I'm not, because I'm just having such a terrible luck with it. So I literally went online to watch a playthrough, and there was a playthrough I found that was an hour, I think 6 or 9 minutes long, where he does the whole game without dying. So like, you could speedrun this game pretty close to an hour if you don't screw up any of the puzzles the first time around. Okay. So,
well, I don't know if I'd be able to speedrun through an hour and get like the one achievement for not dying, because there's going to be at least one time that's going to get screwed up or something.
The worst part would be getting like most of the way through it and then dying. Like,
I think it'd just be it would get deleted at that point.
That's like speedrunning, achievement hunting, like that kind of thing. To me, just like, is one of those things that I just have no interest in. It does nothing for me with a game. Like, I get no enjoyment out of having like a high achievement score at all. And I know that people, like, some people love it. Like, my brother, he, for some reason, had to change his Xbox name or whatever and lost all of his achievements. I think from the 360. No, it must have been from the Xbox One to the current X model. And it really ticked him off. And I felt bad for him because his number was, like, ridiculously high. Because the first 360 we had, him and my two other brother, or me and my other brother, the three of us shared it together, so like it wasn't just him playing games. So like he had a very high, and he's the one that kept like the screen name for whatever stupid reason. He's the one that got to keep it.
Yeah.
So that I can see how like that would upset people, but like for me, I just like it does nothing. When people look at my achievement score, they must be like, "Oh, you don't play games at all." I'm like, "Oh, I don't try. It does nothing for me. Like, I get no enjoyment out of it. It doesn't make my electronic ego any bigger or anything like that. It's just so little for me."
Let me bring you back to a conversation we had maybe last week or the week or a week prior, a couple weeks ago at least. The one game that you had to wait 4 years.
That's right, Stanley Parable.
Not to play to get an achievement. And yes. Did you get said achievement?
I did get the achievement.
See,
but that was only because like I just knew it was like a thing. I kind of like lucked into it, only because I played through the game and I did most of it, and then like I was like, oh yeah, I gotta log in to get that achievement for like being like 6 years or 4 years or whatever it is, and then I did it and I was like, oh yeah, cool, I got it. But
yeah, did you set yourself a reminder to get that achievement?
No.
Did you have to reinstall the game?
I did, and I only did because I got a new computer in between, like when I originally played it. So that's the only reason. And it wasn't a super like heavy game, so it wasn't like it wasn't something that was like, oh man, I gotta really like download this like 40 gig game. It was like a couple of gigs, so I did it just because I wanted it. I don't know, because it'd be like, you know, I didn't play your game for like, you know, half a decade. Even though Stanley Parable, phenomenal game, definitely worth playing. Something we might check out at some point, because it's definitely worth like looking into. It's a very like unique game. So we haven't really talked about the plot of this game.
I really don't know the plot aside from like the brief description that it gives you before you buy the game.
Are you a guy that enjoys games with a good plot to it? Like how heavy does plot play into like your enjoyment, or like when you seek out a game, are you like, oh, does this sound like an interesting like plot to a game? Or are you more of a like, this like is a mechanic that interests me kind of game?
I guess a plot game wouldn't be too bad. I guess I would say about 50-50 on that. If it's got a good plot and it's an interesting story, I'll follow it and everything. Just like some other games that we played on our other podcast that I sat through, read the story and stuff like that and tried to follow along. But, or it could be just be a puzzle game where you're just running around and solving puzzles. I mean, it's just...
Well, the one of those things that I love, I know it because you and I talk so much, but like the listeners don't. Your wife plays a lot of games, and you guys play a lot of games together. And she's like the exact opposite, right? When you guys were playing Lost Ark, she was just like, escape, 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 tab, 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 tab. And you're like, I want to know what's happening.
Yeah, it's one of the characters turned out to be a bad guy. I knew right off the bat because I was able to see a little bit of the cutscene. because we had to fight something separate. And I'm like, that guy's the bad guy. She's like, what? I was like, yeah, he's the bad guy. So you just didn't watch it. You just skipped over everything, so you don't know.
Yeah, playing games with your wife would be triggering to me. It would really bother me, I think. I could not do it.
She's just a get-it-done kind of girl, so like when she's playing...
Yeah, was that a selling point for you when you met her? You're like, oh, she's a get-it-done kind of girl. This is my kind of girl.
Yeah, just her, yeah. Yeah. But no, if she's playing a shooter game or something like that, she just runs and guns. If she plays like Splinter Cell, she can't... it's hard for her to sneak around and everything like that. She'll try and do it, but...
Yeah, that's definitely not a game for her. Sniper Elite 5 is not a game she would enjoy.
No, she'll just come out guns blazing and then get pissed off because everybody's killing her every time because...
That's great. That's fantastic. So the plot of this game is, like, you play a nameless person, first off, a nameless boy. The game's called Limbo, and if we're talking about, like, the Judeo-Christian idea of Limbo, that's, like, literally the edge of hell, right? Like, Limbo is, like, just before you would get into, like, hell.
The in-between.
Yeah, well, so the in-between is not really... That's what, like, kind of is the modern interpretation of Limbo. But Limbo is actually like, hey, you're going to hell unless you fix this right now kind of thing.
Okay.
Which is kind of interesting to me. It seems like he, and by the description, I think the one sentence description is like, an event happens and this boy seeks out his sister. There's not a lot of other people you run into in the game. And when you do run into like actual humanoid looking people, they're either trying to kill you, they're either trying to run away from you, or they're either literally dying in front of you. Like, there's some very dark things. Like, people are hung in the background. You can see people, like, who either have hung themselves or have been hung. I don't want to ruin the ending because I really want you to kind of experience it. But I was personally a little let down with it only because there's not a lot of resolution. There's a lot of, like, I have to interpret it by this meaning or that meaning. Which drove me to go online and see what other people said or thought.
Okay.
I will say that the developer has said that some people have come really close to describing the plot of this game. That's really all he says. And he also says that people have discovered the plot of the game so closely that it actually upsets him. He wishes that it was harder to interpret the plot of this game, which I kind of like don't like.
No, you make a game, and you want people to experience it. So
yes, he wants you to experience it, but he doesn't really want you to know why you're experiencing it, which I kind of was like, that's kind of like a jerk thing to think about. Like, he literally said something along the lines, and I'm paraphrasing, of like, I should have taken more plot points out of the game to make it more, like, to make it harder to understand what's actually happening. I was like, okay, man, I think that's kind of, like, not cool. So that's something that I kind of, like, for me being a guy who enjoys, like, the plot of a game and, like, seeing resolution, you don't really get a lot of that in this game. Which, for me, might be one of the only downsides to this game.
Yeah, I'll have to finish it out and figure out the ending.
I'm interested to see what you think, if you come up to a conclusion. Now that I've read so much about, like, the ending, I have come to a conclusion myself, but it's only because I've read stuff where I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense when you tell me that. Because I think the hints are so small and hard to tell that I'm like, oh, I would never put that together without going online. So and maybe that's just me and my small childlike brain that doesn't allow for complex adult thoughts, which we both know is something I struggle with as a human.
I mean, everything, little aspects in the game, which I'll see how it is once I finish it and everything. Yeah. But I mean, you can like interpret little things in a game, like
a lot
of
that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the worms getting in your head. That could be like your peer pressure or something.
Oh my gosh. See, you're already over. You're already thinking more than I have ever. More.
Yeah. So
I've
it's like forcing you to do something you don't want to do.
This represents when I was in seventh grade and some kid made fun of me for not being picked first in baseball. Yeah.
Just putting his own demons into the game, possibly.
I think there's definitely a lot of that. I think there's some of that definitely in it. But like I said, once I've, like, now that I've read about it online, I'm like, oh, I can kind of get that. I get that. That's kind of cool in its own way. I will say, though, like, I thought the very ending was kind of cool in how it was done. I wanted more plot. I wanted more development. I wanted more, like, answers. I didn't really get them. But it is cool. Like, you don't really realize you're at the end until, like, you're like, oh, I'm done, I guess. That's kind of cool in a weird way. So it wasn't all, like, bad to me. There was definitely some, like, oh, that's kind of cool parts to it. So do you think this is a game worth playing?
I do. If you like puzzles, I would say very suggest this game.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. I actually, like, it's crazy. Once I started doing a little bit of research about this, this game really was, like, spawned a huge, like, following of, like, let's make a lot of games, not necessarily exactly like Limbo, but, like, side-scrolling games that you can beat in under 3 hours that have, like, a little bit of puzzle element to them that are a little, like, ominous and a little dark and a little, like, different. Which I kind of like. I love that. You know, I think for the price point of, like, $10, this game is phenomenal. I think if you catch this game, like, half off, man, it's almost, like, impossible to not pick up and try. We talked, Scott and I talked 2 weeks ago about, like, weekend games. You know, games that you can play in the weekend or, like, in one or two sessions. This game fits that bill perfectly, and I love that. I love, like, hey, I can do this in a couple of days, and, like, then I don't have to play it ever again. But, like, with last week or 2 weeks ago game, we played Far on Stranger Tides or something like that. That game, like, stuck with me for a little bit. Like, I found myself, like, thinking about that game even, like, a week later. I was like, oh, that's, like, a really cool thing. Limbo is the same way for me, where, like, I find myself, like, still even, like, thinking about it even though I finished playing it, like, 3 days ago. Which is,
do you feel the need to replay it?
I don't feel the need to replay it at all, only because the puzzle element to me is diminished on repeat plays. That's not to say that the puzzles are bad, because I think the puzzles are really good. I think they're actually really good, in fact. But, like, replaying doesn't do anything. I already know the answer to that puzzle, so I'm just like, it does nothing for me. For me, the fun is, like, figuring it out and solving it, and then feeling good about, like, solving it. It's not about, like, how fast can I do this? Or, like, watch me burn through this. Like, to me, that does nothing. It's the same problem I have. I know you and I have talked about it. But with, like, TV shows, like, my wife loves to rewatch the same stuff. And for her, it's comforting. Like, she's a big Disney person, if you don't know. Ruining Disney with Tessa is a podcast that Scott and Tessa do every quarter. So there's, like, 3 or 4 episodes a year or something. Cool.
Quarter every 2 years, I think there's a new one coming out.
Okay, there's only been one episode, but there's a second episode that has been recorded about half a year ago that will come out at some point. But, like, she loves, like, it's comforting to her. But, like, for me, I don't like rewatching stuff. I don't like rereading books. I usually don't like replaying games. I've actually replayed a lot of Star Wars games recently. For Gaming Nexus, I've reviewed Knights of the Old Republic, Knights of the Old Republic 2, Republic Commando, Star Wars Force Unleashed. They're all actually being redone by the same company. And I'm just like, I'm always like, yeah, I'll play them because I love those games. Like, in high school and college, they were, like, really meaningful to me. And I've actually really enjoyed replaying them. But I think I've enjoyed replaying them because I liked them so much the first time.
That the nostalgia
is so heavy for me that I'm like, oh my god, it, like, when I played Knights of the Old Republic the first time, I was in college. No, I wasn't. I was in high school, and it was in the summer, and I was babysitting my brother John's friend who lived, like, 4 houses down. And I remember the night before staying up until, like, 6 in the morning playing this game, sleeping for, like, 2 or 3 hours, getting up, taking my Xbox over to his house as I babysat him and played all day while he just did whatever, you know? It's just stuff like that. Like, I remember that memory so vividly and enjoying it so much that when I replayed it, like, you know, a decade and a half later, that I was like, man, this is such a good game. I don't think Limbo would give me those same feelings 15 years from now. Maybe they would. But I don't think they would. It's just like TV shows, you know. I know I'm talking a lot, but Tess and I were just talking about, oh my gosh, the stupid show on Netflix that's getting ready to come back, Umbrella Academy.
Okay.
I've only watched the second season once when it first came out, like pre-COVID, and we're going to rewatch it now because the new season's getting ready to come out. And I'm sure I'm going to enjoy it just as much because it's been so long since I've seen it. I don't remember enough about it. So like that for me is what does it. But like replaying Limbo for me, doesn't seem like it holds a lot to me. How about you? Do you think like this is a game you would replay in a couple of years, or like is this a game you would be like, hey, Casey, you need to play this because I enjoyed it so much, or even to Tyler, you know, stuff like that.
A couple of years from now, probably not. I mean, because it's such a short game. I mean, I'll probably replay it, maybe get some of the achievements done or trophies or whatever. Whichever platform you're playing on, but I would suggest it to other people to certainly play.
Yeah.
With Casey being here in the same household as me, I mean, as soon as I buy the game, which I plan on doing, I'm going to have her sit down and play it, but I don't know how she's going to do with the puzzle aspects and stuff like that, because she's not a really big puzzle person for video game-wise, kind of. I mean, she can sit down and do a puzzle on the table. And she's fine with that.
Oh, puzzles in real life are terrible.
But she's sitting there, she's listening to music and focusing on the puzzle and everything. So that's something that relaxes her. I mean, hell, she's doing that right now.
Okay.
So
another question. Do you get any enjoyment from watching KC play games that you've already played yourself?
It depends. If someone's struggling, and I can stand back, be like, you're struggling.
If I could belittle it a little bit, yes.
Yeah, I'm going to stand back and watch their misery, and I'm like, if you need help, let me know. I can direct you through it, but I'm the kind of person where I don't want someone standing over me that's played the game.
I hate that.
Or being in a game with a co-op, and like they're running around like, okay, you're done with that, you got to go over here and do this, and then once we're done, we got to go here, mm-hmm. and then here. I'm like, no, let me figure it out on my own.
Yeah.
And go at my own pace, so I'm because I don't get no enjoyment out of taking my hand and showing me what to do.
I totally get that. That makes a lot of sense, really, when you think about it.
You don't figure it out and you don't have fun on your own or whatnot. But I mean, if someone needs help, I say, hey, you need help on that? I can give you a hand or whatever. I always offer. I don't just jump in and like grab you by the arm and drag you along for the ride. That's no fun to me.
Oh, there's a special place in hell for people like that.
Yes.
All right, we're like at the 40-minute mark here, which is way longer than a normal budget arcade episode. So we really need to think about wrapping it up here.
But we got to be better than that.
That's right. More bang for your buck. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right. Because we're not JV. We're varsity. We're varsity gold, if anything. They're varsity silver, you know what I'm saying? They're not even listening at this point because we're 40 minutes in.
Yeah, they're done. They're snoozing. Yeah.
Oh, they were definitely like listening to the first 10 minutes to be like, what's this going to be like? And they are like, oh, yeah, this isn't for me.
They didn't screw it up. We're fine.
Yeah. Closing thoughts. Anything else you want to say about Limbo?
No, it's a great puzzler. Mm-hmm. 3 hours to kill, 4 hours, or pick it up on mobile when you're sitting in a dentist's office or any doctor's office and give it the couple minutes and it saves right where you're at and just,
I played this on Switch. You played it on Xbox. I loved it on Switch. It was perfect. It's a great game for Switch. It's the load times were fast. The reloading when you died was fast. That was really good. I definitely liked this game more than I thought I would. I was afraid because of the hype that I had put to it because everyone loves this game that I was going to be like, oh, I don't get the hype, but I get the hype. I get it. It's great. Definitely worth playing. Definitely worth picking. I think it's definitely worth $10. It's absolutely worth like $5 or even like $2.50 or something like that. Definitely worth putting on like your watch list to catch when it's on sale.
Yeah, that's the budget part of budget arcade.
There you go. That's right. Yeah, we brought it back around. Chris, what are we playing in 2 weeks? What are we playing next?
Ravenous Devils.
Yeah,
correct?
That's right. I love how you said it like a question mark. I'm Ron Burgundy. We're going to play Ravenous Devils. It came out on Steam a couple months ago at this point. It's kind of like a Sweeney Todd slash, like, what was the game I was thinking that it's kind of like?
Fallout Shelter with the tiers,
yeah, that's
I
right,
would say,
that's right,
kind
yeah. of. Fallout Shelter, that kind of thing. So we're going to do that in a couple of weeks. So that's going to do it for us this week. Remember, you can Google Budger Arcade podcast to find out more information. There's a Discord channel that I'm sure Scott's going to link in the show notes. There's a website, budgerarcade.com. Scott and I, in the last couple of weeks, have really been working on trying to redo the website a little bit. So it's a little different than it was even a couple of weeks ago. We have got a couple of different writers that are coming on, like Coconut Wizard, who's in the Discord. He talks a lot. He's reviewing some games that we're not even like going to talk about on the podcast. We're just going to literally write about. So the website's definitely worth checking out more than it was a couple weeks ago. Because like 2 or 3 weeks ago, the last update was like from December. And I think there's been 2 or 3 posts since then. And I'm going to put something up about Limbo. So if you want even more Limbo content, which I can't imagine you actually wanting, but I'm going to put a little thing up there about it. So that's worth checking out. We're on TikTok. We're on Twitter. We're on Twitch. You know, basically, you can just search Budger Arcade or Budger Arcade Podcast to find all that kind of stuff. You can email the show at show@budgerarcade, you know, .com, that kind of stuff. Anything else, Chris?
I think that's it.
I've literally almost called you Scott like 15 times, and that's because I've recorded with Scott that I feel really good that I didn't call, I miscall you something else.
Oh, anyway. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. You should be very thankful. We need a new sign. We need our own special sign off too. So we'll think of that. Cause I'm not going to say game on because that's definitely like too much for me. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid that hard. So until then, Excelsior.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.